Are you ready to transcend the ordinary and achieve extraordinary success in your career and life?
Welcome to a special episode of the Executive Career Upgrades Podcast,
where host Christina Madden explores the world of mindset mastery and empire building with the incredible Elena Cardone. Join us as Christina sits down with Elena Cardone, a powerhouse entrepreneur, lifestyle influencer, best-selling author, and public speaker. Elena, the chief family officer and co-founder of Cardone Capital. She's curated a life that defies limits, inspiring countless others to do the same. She's truly 10X. This will be a riveting conversation about thinking bigger than you've ever thought possible. From her best-selling book, Build an Empire, to her empowering podcast series, The Elena Cardone Show, Elena has empowered individuals worldwide to create extraordinary lives for themselves and their families.
Here's Christina and Elena.
Hey, hey, welcome to the show, Elena.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, we have to thank our amazing marketing team for working so hard on these beautiful intros. What did you think about that?
I loved it. I was like, yeah, let's go.
Let's go, 10X.
Yes, well done.
Yes, thank you. Thank you to all of our listeners for joining over on LinkedIn and in our Facebook group. If you don't know who Elena Cardone is, you definitely do now if you tuned in and heard the intro. Elena has been like truly instrumental in my personal development journey over the last, 10 years. I actually just pulled up the G&E show for one of our new employees. I was like, this is how long she's been broadcasting and podcasting, you know? And it's just absolutely amazing. So I'm so excited to have her on the show. And let's just kick it off with, tell us a little bit about, you know, I always talk about your book, Build an Empire. You're all about building and protecting your empire. And you definitely see it all over our offices here. It's like 10X everything, build an empire, let's go. But what does it mean to you, building an empire and having it all?
Wow. I mean, it's such a loaded question, but it's really about a mindset, a mentality of 10X and what it takes to really be able to have it all. So what does it mean to me? It means living a lifestyle by processes and for a purpose and a mission with values and staying true to your integrity. And be willing to sacrifice. What are you willing to give up in order to get where you want to go? And so for us, that was a lot of things that we had to give up, a lot of comfortable ideas, a lot of comfortable actual locations. We had to move from Los Angeles to Miami to really grow and expand. It also means sacrificing comfortable people that are no longer contributing but become liabilities. It's hard to cut those people who have been sort of entitled to your life up into a certain point. I think we're indoctrinated to think, oh, how could you be so cold and everybody's welcome? But that's just not the case for us and the level that we're playing at now. So for me, building an empire is about really pushing yourself to a higher potential than maybe you ever thought was possible. And in doing so, you allow the door to be kicked open for somebody else to be bold enough to go through it as well.
Love that. In our community and in our coaching, we talk a lot about boundaries and people and what roles they play in our lives. And if you guys don't know, recently I went to a Dynamics Relationships workshop. I think I already held this up, but really amazing workshop on how to really put this to work systematically. I even coined a phrase. People say, hey, how are you and Tim going? Oh, you know, marriage is hard, but it's worth it. You know, different things that you can learn on how to handle curveballs, but boundaries. And so what does that look like? Like, how did you start putting that in place for yourself? This is something that people in corporate America, like, really struggle with, especially on their way up and in the job search. Uh-oh, did we lose Elena?
I'm still here. Can you
see me? There you are.
Okay, I'm still here. So how did it come a point with the boundaries? You know, it's first of all, taking responsibility that you're probably the one not or setting a precedent for people to be able to do whatever they want. And how you do that is by initiating certain conversations or keeping the door open or talking too much when maybe you shouldn't. So as we've grown and evolved, I've just had more experiences come in. There was a time when we had a very small staff and they were all treated like family. And that's the environment. I want that culture to feel like that. But you also have to recognize that when you cross certain lines with people, then they think that they are family. And it's hard to go back and distinguish, no, I'm actually the employer role. And now I can't be so invested in your personal life that now I've come off of why I have you in my life, which is to help assist the business grow. Now I'm worried about you and your personal life and your time off and your dog or whatever it might be. Like, so that's when I said, you know what, I started to figure out categories of people. I started to figure out with my family, I was expecting them to be all gung-ho about every single little business thing I did and look at how great I am. And I was trying to somehow prove myself and get validation from them. And with certain family members, it just wouldn't come because I don't think they're trying to be mean. I just think that they're going to love me just the way I am, or they're not interested in that and whatever. So it wasn't until I really started to see, wow, I'm actually responsible for these relationships. So with my business people, they're there to help with business and the ascension of all of us together. That's where we share our goals and our dreams and we can celebrate together. And we can keep it a fun environment. But yes, I don't necessarily want to know everybody's personal thing. I have an HR department for that. With the family, they want to have experiences with me. So give them the experiences. I don't open the door about trying to prove myself or gain validation with how great I am in business. Not all members, of course, and certainly with Grant and the kids, we share a lot more because we're all aligned. But I'm talking about outside sort of family members, you know? And as a result in that, our relationships across the board have just improved so much. So, and then when I decided I don't talk about my husband anymore to girlfriends or this or that, you know, it was really like discipline because I had grown up talking about my relationships to all my girlfriends or to anyone who would listen. And I thought that's what you had to do. But those relationships ended up taking a hit because I would do that and spread this information that sometimes was very one-sided, et cetera. Sometimes I would go back with these people and it would re-stimulate upsets and I go back to that partner and then boom, we're in a fight again over nothing but my upset because auntie blah, 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 or best friend Jane brought it up and now I'm all upset again. Do you know what I'm saying? So when I decided, okay, I make a policy, I don't talk about my relationship to other people, then my relationship and our trials and tribulations are kept sacred between the two of us until we hash it out. And then after we get in on the other side, then I can say what was successful, where I went wrong, what should I have done better, but never while I'm going through it because that's not going to benefit me. So really the first look at allowing boundaries is looking at what you are doing to allow the boundaries to be crossed. It's not somebody else's fault. Typically, it's your fault for not knowing how to have your remark. You know, like you just said, marriages are hard, but we're making it work. Boom, it shuts it down. You know, I say sometimes I have about 10 things I can pull out. You know, we have the 95-5 rule. 95% of the time it's hoorah and 5% of the time it's eek, you know, but, or I'll say we're not perfect, but we're figuring it out. I just tell them the truth. you know, and I end the conversation. I don't let that be the door that opens up to my vomit session about my partner.
I love that. And if you're anything like me, this took a long time to really implement in my own life. But when I did, it was extremely empowering. And all of a sudden, you also feel like you gained time back. I had a recent experience with a team member, and she might have been one of the most 10x people I ever met, but we were way too intertwined on a personal level. And when by the time she was no longer in the environment, I'm like, I think I gained like 40 hours back just because we were so intertwined in our personal lives and our personal discussions. I was like, wow. So it's just so important to identify these things and then be able to implement it. But also, it's so important to have key players to help you defend your empire. We know you have Sherry Hamilton, who is the COO at Cardone Enterprises. And by the way, guys, if you have not seen her recent podcast episode, I was like, holy moly. I'm like, this is a tell-all episode.
I've known Sherry for over a decade. I'd never heard those stories before. I was blown away.
I know, me too. It kind of took me back to my dating days. And I was actually making a joke with Tim earlier. I'm like, you know what? Our first date, Elena, I kid you not, was we were watching Grant Cardone videos. Okay. Like, this was what Tim wanted to do on our first date. Okay. Cardone.
This was a long time ago. Hysterical.
Yeah. And he had don't be a little, you know what, on his wristband. And that's how we kicked it off. But so how do you identify your key players? And again, Sherry Hamilton, again, guys, COO, if you don't know who she is, definitely go follow her on Instagram. And most of our listeners are executives. And so you can definitely learn how she, you know, contributes to the culture at Cardone Enterprises. They've built something, you know, fantastic. But how do you identify people that you really trust to help you protect your empire?
You know, it takes a little bit of time usually because people have they talk a good talk. They have a perfect resume. But really time ends up being the tell all, because you can really study somebody after they're putting on that honeymoon of like, look at how great I am. I just got this new job. Once that wears off, you get to see, okay, well, how do they handle themselves in a stressful situation? Are they problem solvers? Do they have initiative? Did they think of something that you didn't or couldn't do before, but they implemented and it turned out to be a benefit and an asset for you and the company? What is their work ethic? Are they excited to go to work? Are they complaining or wanting their time off? Or, you know, that's kind of not a good indicator. What are their values like? What is the condition of the things around them? Do they seem like they're ethical? You know, you kind of get a sense of these things. What are they talking about? Are they gossiping about other people? Not a good indicator. So you can, the leaders over time really start to present themselves and stand out, because you will see that the environment around them becomes stable and it's thriving and it has a good culture and people are happy and work is getting done and targets are being met and hit and people are pushing and they want to dig in and do more and they're willing to help their team members. So when I see all of that, it's really easy to identify who the leader is. Also, leaders are people that are not going to have tolerance for out ethics behavior around them. And somebody willing to say something about it is a big leader, because most people want to mind their own business. They don't want to be the rat, whatever excuse they have. But the people who are willing to risk not being liked or having somebody have an issue with them because they call them out on their unethical behavior is somebody that I will always respect.
I love that. I love what you guys said on that episode around, hey, like, we're not judging you by your clothes. We judge you by your stats, more or less, in your environment. We judge you by your performance. And so what does that look like? And everybody is like that over at HQ over there. It's all about stats. But what does that look like for you and your team?
Well, we have our stats, we have our quotas, we have our number of people that we want helped. And the way that we can determine that is by a financial dollar reached, because then I will have known how much our products and services will have been exchanged in order to increase to that massive level. So we have the key performance indicators. We're meeting weekly to get on the same page and make sure that we're holding ourselves accountable for the targets.
Love that. Brandon Dawson is holding us very accountable to that as we move through our platform SBU process. Our KPIs, guys, how many out there love or hate KPIs?
Yes, those key performance, but aren't they good when you really identify what the key performance indicators are? So then you can know how to target where you're falling behind, what you need to do to get the stat up in those areas. Okay, now we've got to focus the marketing on X, Y, and Z to drive revenue towards this product so that we can exchange our service. Do you know, it kind of helps you get clarity rather than just kind of leaving it to chance. And it's really a specific measurable target.
Yes. Then we don't have to bring so much emotion in it. It's all data driven. We can make more logical decisions.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So one question that I get all the time from our clients is, Christina, like, how do you do it? How do you become a best-selling author? How do you continue putting yourself out there? You know, you seem fearless. You seem scared of nothing. And, you know, and I feel the same about you, Elena. I'm like, you know, I think this woman eventually is going to someday slow down. But I'm like, no, you're out making huge marks, supporting our country even recently at a political rally. What was that like? So as somebody who's always putting themselves out there seemingly so fearlessly, like, what is it like? What was that particular experience like?
That was an incredible experience. My husband knows Bernie Marino, who's running for the Ohio Senate seat, and he couldn't speak, so he asked me to speak. It also happened to be at this Trump rally. Well, I'm not really out politically until recently, which wasn't even a political statement, when I came out with my GoFundMe Stand With Trump, because I was so horrified with the settlement, because we're in real estate. We don't need to get into all of that, but it set a very dangerous precedent for real estate investors, for entrepreneurs, that your assets can be seized for nothing. There's no criminal offense just because we don't like your political views. And so it terrified me. And because we deal, as you know, with hundreds of thousands of entrepreneurs a year, I felt like I needed to take a stand and say, it's not okay, and we have to send a message. Well, a lot of people saw that as me taking a political stance, which I had never done before. So it kind of took courage, because I didn't want to do that. I just got to the point where I can't not do anything anymore, because I stand and represent realtors. We have 13 or 15,000 investors at this point. We work with entrepreneurs. Like, I represent these people. Enough is enough. So it was really scary, because, you know, I've been mailed feces, didn't know people had ideas to do such things to people. I've been told I should die in a concentration camp. I should kill myself. I should die in a flaming wreck. I stopped reading after that. I probably shouldn't say this in front of my staff, but, you know, two FBI agents came to the office just in the 2 days ago because of some very serious threats against my life that we needed to talk about. So it's interesting stepping out into this arena, because I kind of didn't know what I was getting myself into. At the same time, I'm not scared. I'm not backing down. I stand for three things other than standing beside my husband and representing him, which is helping people to become financially secure and successful so they don't have to depend on a government. They can do it for themselves and their families. I stand for the empowerment of women, the restore of the woman value to society. I want to protect children, and I want to restore the family. So, yay. So, you know, what's it been like? It's been like, okay, I can do this. I'm not afraid, you know?
It really is such a brave thing to take a stand on anything in this life. It really is such a brave thing. And politics aside, guys, we don't even have to go into that, but you raised something like $1 million to take a stand. $2 million. Oh my gosh, guys.
$2 million. Yes. $2 million. And the story behind that is just unbelievable. The story behind this GoFundMe, if anyone out there wants to send a message, whether you're Democrat or Republican, you should be afraid, because no matter who's in the seat in the wherever we go forward, I know nobody, whether you're Democrat or Republican, should want your assets seized because of your political views. So if you want to take a stand, do that. But that story is incredible, because I did it as a knee-jerk reaction. I was like, I'm doing something. I'm having my proud, courageous moment. I'm doing this. And the next thing you knew, it just went viral. I mean, it went viral. I mean, it blew up to 1 million in under a week. I was like, oh my God, the news was calling this, that. Then they wanted to know where the money was going. I'm like, well, hadn't thought that far. You know, when I set up the GoFundMe and it was like, to yourself, to a beneficiary, to a charity, I'm like, a beneficiary, you know, I'm going to give it to the legal fund. I don't know anything about legal funds and what campaigns can accept what and what, you know, what GoFundMe can represent and not represent. Oh my God. I was like, wait, what? I don't have a beneficiary. Are you taking the money? Oh, like, there's a stack of emails that are like, you're a fraud. You're taking this money. I'm not taking the money. I promise you that. I'm not touching one dime of this money. But I'm in the problem now where I don't know who the beneficiary is. And I'm like, oh my God. So now I am tasked with getting in touch with anyone over in the Trump campaign saying, hey, I raised money. Can you take it? And they're busy running a campaign and dealing with Atlanta and New York and lawsuits and Supreme Court. Like, the, you know, at this point, it was $1 million, which is a lot of money, right? But like, they're like, well, who is this chick with this $1 million? We got stuff going on. He's got rallies and this and that. So anyway, I finally, after this long, I talked to my lawyer, and my lawyer was like, you know, they might not even want this. This might be a problem for them. They've got everybody looking after them. And then I go sheet white, and I'm like, okay, so now I was trying to create a good effect. I potentially could have created a very bad effect. I've got like so many people upset at me as it is. I was dying. Anyway, I found this nonprofit that works and got the check mark by the team. That's all I will say is the team. And that I'm working hand in hand with that nonprofit. And they have legally, because that nonprofit originally funds people that have been affected or targeted because of their association with President Trump. Wow. They opened up a division that's going to be open tomorrow, Thursday, where President Trump's legal team legally can have this money fund them. So they did that for me. It was incredible. I'm going to update the GoFundMe tomorrow and give everybody the update. But as a nice perk, it was really cool, because the team recognized the effort, and it was a validated, appreciated, and it was not a negative effect. So, you know, sometimes you just have to commit and figure the rest out later.
Wow. Amazing story. And so funny, when people are out doing these big things and making such a big impact, I think there's this common misconception that everything's so planned out and everything's all perfect, but it's more like, okay, I got the money, don't know what I'm doing with it. Who's doing it? It's so funny, you know?
Oh my God, I was dying. My stomach was in a knot. All these people are accusing me of stuff, and I have no idea where the money's going to. I just literally never done a GoFundMe before. How hard can it be? It took me less than 5 minutes. It was a click of the button. Yahoo! And it was just, it was wildfire.
Wow. To dig a little bit further on your advocacy for women, children, and restoring the family unit, I talk about that a lot in our community because I believe that that starts with like building and protecting a great career and having financial freedom. And that's part of our mission here with impacting corporate leaders is to then trickle into the families and communities and all of that. But tell me a little bit more about this because you talk about it as part of your spiritual legacy play. So what does this look like for you on a day-to-day basis around your advocacy for restoring family unit? And how do you think that impacts corporate America?
Well, first of all, I'm the co-founder of the Grant Cardone Foundation, which I'm really stepping up and into this year more than ever before. Because I just believe that if we can get a million children, right now we've helped about 350,000 children, and I have firsthand witnessed when these underprivileged children that are victim of circumstances, poverty, and now through the program can see that there's another way, and they can learn through entrepreneurial skills how to get ahead and be taught philosophies and the correct principles around money and finance and how to have it, that I've seen lives transform. So I just feel that if we can turn around a million plus kids, that's a million kids that don't have to end up in the jails or suicide rates or victim of poverty or whatnot because of that. So I feel like if we give them a chance and that they can then provide and take care of their families and their children, we can start turning this dwindling spiral. We can stop it at best and start to reverse it upward. So that's really important to me on the corporate level of what you're talking about with the 10X kids. And that's a whole program that we implement with the Grant Cardone Foundation. The other foundation that I'm on the board of is called Not On Our Watch. And that is really about getting the awareness out to parents and children so they don't have to fall victim of either child sextortion or child sex trafficking, which is occurring on a very large scale basis. And it really isn't out there in the mainstream media is suppressing this information. But America is the number one consumer of this content and maker of this content. And I had always been naive to think, oh, that's in some third world country where they do that. No, it's in America. It's here, and we're the biggest consumers of it. So I joined that board not because I wanted to. That subject is very difficult to think about, talk about. But again, it just got to the point where I've had enough and I have to confront my fear of that subject and help others to not fall victim of that circumstance.
Amazing. And again, so brave and inspirational. I was at 10X Ladies where Marisol was really brave in diving into that topic. And I learned a lot about it and things I certainly were, just unthinkable. And so thank you for taking a stand on that and really just being part of contributing to the people who are boots on the ground, trying to make an impact on that. Let's see, what else are some of my questions I had for you? But what's one piece of advice that you have for like a new corporate leader heading into a leadership position? So maybe they're like entry-level director and they want to climb the corporate ladder and maybe eventually make it to the C-suite. What is one piece of advice that you would give somebody on their journey in their career?
I think a true leader that wants to be at the top of the game has to learn how to develop talent. They have to have an eye to be able to spot leaders and also know how to enhance their development and give them the tools that they need, not only the tools that they need, but trained on, implemented so that they can master and duplicate their role. So if I was, if this is a young leader that wants to become the leader, the way up that ladder is how well can you find, develop other leaders within the organization, period. Because some people are threatened, don't want to do that. They want to keep themselves like the only one or the one that needs to be depended on the most. And then that's that. Then they're never going to leave that position because they can't ever leave that position because they're needed in that position. But if they really want to climb up and out, learn how to develop other leaders and talent.
Absolutely. Learning how to scale, you have to duplicate yourself and truly care about people, which again, that brings me to another topic of training and development. So this took me again years of Grant and Elena pounding this into my head, like always be investing in yourself, always be in a course, be training, be learning, and don't be closed off to new information. But what are some of the things that you're doing right now to continue learning and training and developing yourself?
Where do we begin? This is my year of learning. I'm listening to a book right now called Whatever It Takes by Steven Schwartzman. He's a CEO of Blackstone. I've listened to Teamwork, Natalie Dawson's book, Brandon's book. I've listened to Grant's training. I've sat in the business conference. I'm also going through the 10X 360 as you are. I'm being treated no differently. I've listened to John Maxwell's books on leadership. So it's interesting that you asked me about that. I am nonstop learning. I've done the sales workshop. I've done the marketing workshop. I've done the leadership workshop. I sit in our own workshops. I mean, it's crazy. People are like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I'm learning. That's what I'm doing.
I see you and in the back row taking your notes. I've seen you.
Oh yeah, I have my team with us and I'm like, we're getting this. We're all gonna be on the same page. We're gonna run the 10X Ladies Empire division and we're gonna exceed expectations and we're gonna grow and we're gonna take responsibility for the women on this planet and we're gonna bring more women into the fold that can benefit from the Cardone Ventures or the Cardone Capital or the 10X stages. You know, these women might not find Grant or Brandon because they're not following a Grant and a Brandon type, but maybe they're following somebody like me and they come to a 10X Ladies and then they're like, wow, all of this is going on here. Maybe I need to learn about leadership or marketing or scaling my business. Boom. Or speaking on stages or how to monetize from stages or 10X health. I want my health to be better. Okay, well, here you go. So that's what I'm up to. And because I'm taking responsibility for growing this division, I've never done that before. People, you know, have a lot of misconceptions about me. I speak expertly on the things that I can speak expertly on, and I don't pretend to know what I don't know. Grant's always built the businesses. He built them from the ground up. I haven't. I did something different. So now that I have a division under the umbrella of Cardone Training Technologies called the 10X Ladies Empire, that division is only being run by me. It's being supported by the assets that I can utilize from Cardone Training Technologies, but no one's building that. They've got their hands full building everything else they're building. So I had to go, okay, I can't expect somebody to do it for me and to take responsibility for these women that I want. I've got to do it. So what does that mean? I have to learn. I don't know what Natalie Dawson knows about teamwork and team building. She's hired and fired hundreds of people. Not me, not, maybe five in my life. You know what I'm saying? So what is she saying about that? Brandon Dawson, I don't know about the break points. I don't know about key performance indicators or one-on-ones or how to ask a staff member about their personal, professional, and financial goals and lay out a vision and make sure we're all tracking and keep somebody inspired. So I got to go listen to Grant or a John Maxwell on leadership, or how did Stephen Schwartzman, who was the big head honcho at Lehman Brothers, then go down to a nobody and build BlackRock or Blackstone? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, because that's where I am. I'm doing it now for my first time. So I can speak to all the people starting out just like me and tell you, okay, this is what I'm doing. I'm not on this side yet. I've been around the environment enough to, and I've seen enough to know, but I haven't actually done that work myself, which is what I'm doing right now. So it's incredible, because as so many people see me as whatever they see me as, I could be very relatable to the woman that's like, wow, she's learning it just like me, because it's true. I am.
Yeah. When I first started out learning some of the things that did resonate with me in your book, Build an Empire, and your podcast and everything, you talk a lot about how you managed self-doubt through the process of then like, okay, like my kids don't need me quite as much. Now I really want to dive into these things. And I mean, of course they need you, they're young ladies, but not like toddlers anymore. And stepping into the arena and doing what you've done and accomplished in real estate and with 10X Ladies, and not to mention everything you've done to bolster the success of Grant Cardone and Cardone Enterprises. But how do you deal with self-doubt? That is my question. That's one of my big questions for you.
Oh, God. I do it anyway.
Yeah.
I stopped waiting for it to go away. I mean, you know, I interviewed Venus on stage last year at 10X Ladies, and she doesn't have self-doubt. And I, God, love it. I love that. I wish I had that. I don't. I mean, I just don't. I just still do. So I just kind of acknowledge that for me right now, until I evolve or whatever happens, it's going to be there for me and it's not going to stop me. I'm going to persist through it and I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to make myself wrong that I have self-doubt, and I wish I didn't have self-doubt, but I do. Like, I'm not, it doesn't matter. It's there and I'm still going to do and take my actions no matter what. So that's really how I deal with it. And, you know, sometimes it makes me feel like, I don't know what the feelings are. Who cares about the feelings? Anxiety, sad, this, that. They're not me. They're just feelings. I'm a spiritual being. You know what I mean? I'm a spiritual being. I'm me. I got my purpose, my drive, my, you know what I'm saying? These are feelings that I'm going through. They're just gauges, you know? And maybe, who knows? Maybe those are kind of what I need to, as little sensors and barometers to push me. So maybe my self-doubt is like, you know, is my gold, because my self-doubt maybe drives or pushes me to keep going and dig in and prove myself that I can for my, not only myself, but for everybody else. And, you know, maybe I'm not ready to let go of my self-doubt. Maybe it's served me. Maybe it's helped me get to where I'm going. Maybe it's helped me to be vulnerable. Maybe it's helped me to be humble or whatever. I hate that word humble. It means ground, but maybe it's helped me in some sort of unforeseen way. So until I'm ready to let it go and not have it, I guess I'm going to have it and persist.
Yeah. I'm like I'm not one of these people that hop out of bed and I'm like, yay, working out. No, I loathe it. I battle these thoughts all day. That's just the season I'm in. And we help, you know, directors, VPs, and executives go into these high level interviews. And it's like, Christina, oh my gosh, how do I deal with all this nervousness and whatever? And I just try to help them reframe it into excitement and also understanding that you can move through those physical sensations and still get through an interview and absolutely, you know, crush it.
You know, also that is true, but I will tell you this, it had been, There is a responsibility to understand physically what's going on for you. And so I hadn't had my blood work done in a very long time, even though obviously we own 10X Health. And I said, I've got to put a stop to this. I went and got my blood work done. Some things are a little bit out, which she is like, do you have brain fog? I'm like, all day long. I think I'm getting Alzheimer's. I'm really worried about it. Okay, well, there's this this hormone and this, or you need to increase this, or your D3 is extremely low. That is the most important vitamin. It's the only vitamin that your body produces because it's that important. And it's like sub-level low. She's like, are you feeling a little sad or depressed or this or that? I'm like, well, I don't know. I kind of just think that's life and me just, you know, head to the ground. But I'm starting to, I got to take responsibility, like allow myself to have whatever psychological feelings and emotional, whatever I'm going to go through. But if there's actually some physical component I can do to help my genes, my breaks in my genes, and the way I assimilate vitamins, if there's something I can do to give myself more energy, to feel better with the way I process, I don't know all these terms, serotonin or no, I think that's the sleep one. The energy or talking out my butt. I'm not an expert, but I see the panels and I see where I can give myself a better chance of not feeling those things and thinking it's psychological when it's physical.
Mm. My 10X gene test is sitting on my vanity, so I need to get on top of that. And if you guys haven't heard of 10X Health, it's one of the fastest growing supplement companies, I don't know if that's the right term, in the world. And it's a company where you can test your genes and your blood work and your hormones and everything health.
We are working on something extremely exciting that I hope is going to be revealed at 10X Growth Conference.
Oh, next week, Tim has his diamond ticket. Our team will be there. So we're super excited about that.
Okay, well, stay tuned. I'm hoping it gets announced this year.
Amazing. And we preach that all the time, guys. You guys are leaders. It's very physically demanding, mentally demanding, and you have to take care of your physical body. Like, that's the number one thing. So when people come to us talking about stress and burnout and those physical sensations, I'm not a health coach or an expert, but I'm like, hey, you have to definitely support.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, I could be feeling a little low energy. I've only got this blow up, this blow up, this blow up, this blow up, you know, so I'd rather have the my body optimal.
Absolutely. I want to answer a couple questions. Yes, Dr. Ford, the book is Build an Empire. Also your 10X Health Network links are in the comment there. Thank you, Raquel. I know that we need to wrap our time up. I'm sure Elena is on to her next meeting, but just to recap, guys, you have to take a stand for something in your life. Be brave, be bold. You've got some tips on how to manage self-doubt, which, hey, so for some of us, it's not going anywhere. You can still take action anyway. Invest in yourself, learning and development, and put yourself out there in your brand. And I think I covered everything there. Is there anything you want to leave the listeners with today in corporate America as they head off back into their afternoon?
Yeah, you know, just it's like my husband says, be great. You know, go out there. Know your value, know your worth. You don't need the validation from others. It's who you are and what you have to give, and own that and give it. Don't be stingy, because being stingy robs somebody like me or somebody like you from the asset that you have to offer. So it does no good to have self-doubt stop you or whatever insecurity stop you, because when you do that, you're actually being greedy, because I want to be better and I want to have an experience or be touched by your life. So share it, give it, and spread your greatness, because the world definitely needs more of that right now.
It really, really does. And the chat's just blowing up with comments around how inspiring and how raw this was. Definitely on this podcast and on Elena the Elena Cardone Show, her podcast, you will certainly find raw material, pure honesty and transparency around topics in the world and leadership today. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. And we'll talk to you soon, Elena. Thank you so much for your time.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.